Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsuit Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is, I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your Wild Grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special, and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box. And $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit. Or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout.
The dust is settling.
But the outlook is far from clear.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
Welcome to The Briefcase. Before we get started, we wanted to tell you guys that next week we are going to launch our first Pantsuit Politics. Is program the right word, Beth? What is it?
Yeah, community challenge? Project, maybe?
Community project like challenge. We're calling it Exit the Echo Chamber, and we will have a list of daily challenges for all of you to participate in an effort to exit our own little echo chambers and attempt to do what we do on Pantsuit Politics, which is understand the other side. So get excited about that. If you have any ideas for things you think would help exit the echo chamber, send them our way.
And we want to, as always, thank our all-star subscribers, Christine, Sydney, Nicolette, Paige, Audrey, Ashley, Tracy, and Julie. Thank you so much for supporting Pantsuit Politics. If you'd like to learn more about supporting what we do here, please visit our website, pantsuitpoliticsshow.com. Your generosity means the world to us and enables us to keep doing this. So thank you very much.
So I have spent, I'm much calmer, I'm not crying, even though I did sit down to show Griffin the meeting between President Obama and President-elect Trump today, and I started tearing up again, and he was like, Mom, the election's been 2 days, why are you still tearing up all the time?
Well, it has been a very impressive couple of days from Hillary Clinton and President Obama, just total class acts.
Yep, I was really so proud to be her supporter as she gave her speech. And I don't know if you saw the viral photo that went around of somebody that encountered her on a walk in the woods with her dogs today or yesterday. And I just, it brought so much joy to my heart. First of all, to just be think of makeupless Hillary out on a walk with her husband and her dogs in the woods, which, listen, we should probably all take a page from her book and go for a walk in the woods. But, you know, it was bittersweet, but it was really nice to think of her just out doing something normal. I'm sure it feels good, even if she's still reeling from the election. And I was incredibly impressed by President Obama's speech and then welcoming President-elect Trump to the office so quickly. And, you know, I was encouraged by both of them. when they said that it was supposed to be a 15-minute meeting and they sat there together for an hour and a half talking, that gives me hope. It just does.
I agree. And I think that it sends the right message to the country that, you know, something I've said on this show before is that our protection is in the process. And I feel like our officials are doing a good job of reminding us that we might not like the outcome, or, you know, lots of us are feeling lots of things about the outcome, but the peaceful transfer of power is an end into itself. It's very important. And so I just really admire the way that they're handling this after all of the acrimony of the campaign.
And I've also spent a lot of time sort of soul searching about the future of the Democratic Party, which, as Vox so lovingly put it, is, I think the headline was like, the Democratic Party is in ashes or something like that. And I think that, I guess what I told my friend the other day is, if I hope nothing comes from this election, I hope that it leaves the political consultancy industry in shambles. I like very much that the Trump campaign proved that you don't need consultants and messaging gurus and data guys and all these things. And because I think that it is what the Democratic Party has done is live on the coast and then think that every 4 years we're going to sweep across the country and have a message that works. And this year, the message, for better or for worse, came across was, and is coming across now post-election, is, if you don't agree with us, you're a racist. And that is not a winning message. It's also not right. And we have got to figure out how to talk about racism and sexism in a constructive way, both as, you know, ethically and morally concerned individuals in our own personal lives and as political parties, because, you know, just the name calling and the talking past each other. And I don't want to imply that people have no right to be concerned about racism or that Donald Trump did not perpetuate racism in a lot of ways. He did. It's awful. These photos and videos that are coming out of people harassing people and committing hate crimes, let's just be honest about it, is awful and atrocious. And we have to take a moral and ethical stand about that. But like I said before, it's like we're depending on politics to do too much. Nobody thought that if we elected Hillary Clinton or that we were going to cure racism or that we were going to cure sexism and everything was going to be great. This is not a legislative battle. This is a battle for the hearts and minds of people and to open people's experiences to other realities. And like, that's too much to ask of politics. And it's also clearly not a winning strategy.
I don't really know how to talk about this, to be honest, because I hear all of the stories of horrible things happening in the wake of this election, and I don't know the validity of those stories, and it seems to be up and down, but I know a lot of them are true, and, mm-hmm. and my default is to believe them until something suggests otherwise, right? And mm-hmm. I also am not going to question anyone's fear, because I am constrained by my life experiences, and I'm a white woman living in the suburbs. I've lived my entire life in the state of Kentucky, and so no one has ever said to me that I shouldn't hold my husband's hand in public, and no one has ever looked at me on an airplane like my presence makes them afraid, and no one has ever given me a glance in a high-end department store that suggests I'm there to do anything other than shop. And so there's this whole universe of experience that I don't have, and I can't have it. And so I don't want to say anything that tells people who've had those experiences that I know something that they don't. I don't. I also don't want to berate people who I believe to be good and who I think voted for Donald Trump for reasons that don't have anything to do with sexism or racism or xenophobia. And I don't know how to have this conversation, because I think that people in both places are still justifiably very emotional and sensitive, and in some ways, especially on the part of people who voted for Trump, defensive. And mm-hmm. I understand why. Every message from our culture right now is that they should be. And so yeah. I don't want to add to that or subtract from the very real pain and fear that other people are living in. I can only be what I am, and what that is a person who doesn't know how to have this conversation.
Well, and I just think that for me, it's like we're talking to and about two different people and about different things, and we have to acknowledge that. In no way, shape, or form, when I want to say, "Hey, let's slow up," if you voted for Donald Trump, you're a racist. I don't want to say like you don't have the right to grieve this election. I'm grieving. That's what I realized last night. Last night I just thought, oh, this is grief. I hate grief. I don't want to do this. I hate grief. It's the worst emotion of all the emotions. And I like emotions. And I'm just kind of like, I don't want to do that. But like everybody has to have the space to do that. Absolutely. And I think that we can say that. We can say like your experience is valid. I'm not telling you how to feel. And make a little space to have a conversation about, especially because, again, I just keep emphasizing, like, we have to just talk about politics. But, like, I think what happens is this becomes so about identity. And I think what happened with so many Trump voters is that, you know, people don't say to themselves, I'm racist. They think, I don't treat people unfairly, and I would never do that. And unconscious bias is unconscious for a reason. You know what I mean? And so what I hear people telling me anyway is, well, I'm not a racist. I voted for him for these X, Y, and Z reasons. And so, and that just didn't affect their identity as far as like, I don't feel like that. So it doesn't matter what he says because I don't feel like that. And I hear that. And I also hear people, and I feel like this to a certain extent, that if it wasn't a disqualifier, that is a racist belief to say there is a racist sort of privilege and assumption to say like that's not a disqualifying thing for Donald Trump to say racist things because I'm not racist. Like that's a privileged position. Like I'm really into this idea. Like I learned on a podcast called, I think it's called Santosha. And it's like not, you don't say but, you just say and. My kids are driving me, instead of I love my kids, but they are driving me crazy, which sort of negates the first thing. You just say, and I love my kids and they're driving me crazy. I see why you think voting for Trump is nothing but racism. And I see why you voted for Trump under the belief that you are not a racist. Both things are true. Like, I feel like that's how we have to have the conversation, is to say like, there's not a right answer. All of these are true. Like I wrote earlier on my Facebook page, like, 60 million people voted for Hillary Clinton and about 60 million people voted for Donald Trump. And none of us can fathom the universe of human experience that's contained in 60 million, 120 million people. I can't really wrap my head around the experiences contained in the 4,000 people that voted for me. And like, we just have to realize like all these things can be true, and it sucks, and it's hard to live in that complexity, and not, we want answers and we want easy conclusions, and we're not going to get those, and we just have to swim around in it for a while, guys. We just have to float around and not having an answer and not picking sides and acknowledging the humanness of every person that cast a vote, no matter who they cast a vote for. Or if they didn't cast a vote, or if they were reacting with anger and hurt to who you voted for, like, it just, we gotta do that.
If you're looking for a very quick salon quality, but not salon priced manicure, Olive & June has you covered. We've talked about Olive & June's Mani system before. It has everything that you need for a professional manicure in one box, salon grade tools, your choice of 6 polishes. Those polishes are gonna last you for 7 days or more. The cost breaks down to about $2 a manicure. Olive & June also has press-ons if you want. What I love, though, is that Olive & June each season is coming out with new colors, and I just got a set of spring and summer colors in quick dry polish. Now, they say this dries in about a minute. It seemed dry to me in about 30 seconds. It was not kidding about being quick dry. I also love the light colors in this set. There is a huge range. My favorite one is called Kitten. It's like a pinkish gray. The quick dry polish gives you full coverage in one or two coats. It lasts for more than 5 days, and it is offered in more than 40 cruelty-free and vegan polishes. Olive & June just understands what's happening in our lives, that we need to move quickly, but we want to look great and feel great and have fun in the process. Visit oliveandjune.com/pantsu for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first mani system.
Just finished A Court of Thorns and Roses and craving another fantasy world to devour? Dipsy's got you. Dive into spicy enemies to lovers' tales or embark on an epic romance between immortal fae and sworn foes. They've got fantasy romance stories perfect for your morning walk, late night, or long bath. Dipsy is an app full of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/pantsuit. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/pantsuit. dipsystories.com/pantsuit. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/pantsuit.
I had this moment of kind of an epiphany today about how profoundly unproductive a lot of our national political discussions are. So I've talked before on this show about how I'm part of the Leadership Northern Kentucky class. It's a program that our Chamber of Commerce puts together. And today was one of our class sessions, and it was on sustainability. And so we had this hour-long panel on sanitation, which I know sounds like an incredibly sexy subject. So we talked about the challenges of managing human waste and how our systems for doing that are very, very old systems, and they have not been maintained well. And these systems in Kentucky are not publicly funded. They are funded by revenue generated when we pay for our water. And so they're fees based on water usage. And so those of us who are trying to conserve water are driving down the revenue available to maintain the sewage system. And the Environmental Protection Agency has imposed a ton of regulations on the sanitation districts, and they need to increase our rates in order to meet those guidelines. But when they do that, the people most hurt by that are the people at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. So you have income inequality, environmental issues, and infrastructure all running into each other here. No reasonable human being would disagree with any of the goals at work there. Everyone wants clean water. Everyone wants good infrastructure to meet our most fundamental needs. Everyone wants poor people to be able to pay for their water, right? And none of that's partisan. And it just struck me that we are talking, we are injecting partisan politics into every conversation,
yes,
when it doesn't solve a damn thing that matters to people's lives every day. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, for the first time, I think I can wrap my mind around a perspective on Donald Trump that makes him attractive. Now, mm-hmm. now hang with me and let
no,
me.
No, I'm here with you. I don't even hang. I'm there. I know what you're going to say. I'm with you.
And for our listeners who are, you know, not open to this, let me just remind you that I have not for one second considered voting for Donald Trump ever. I did not vote for him. I would not. What I'm about to say does not change all the things that I have said about him. But I want to understand this, and today I feel like I did. Let's go back to sanitation. There are those real problems that these folks are combating every day. This real complex collision of interest where it's just about priorities and how do you stretch, if you have $1, how do you stretch that dollar to meet all the needs of it, right? But another layer is all of the jurisdictions that have a stake in this, and all of the committees and all of the advisory boards and all of the people who are running for office on the promise of lowering the water rates and fixing the infrastructure problems, right? And who don't know what they're talking about at all when they say that. And I, for a minute, could put myself in the position of thinking, you know, someone like Donald Trump is not going to let process get in the way of a good result.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like Donald Trump would walk in here and say, fix it. And until you fix it, you know, if you don't, everyone's fired here. And I'm going to get some people who can fix this. Mm-hmm. I can see how people would look at Donald Trump and say, I trust myself not to be racist or sexist. I trust myself to care about Muslims. I trust him to get the pipes fixed. And that's what I need right now.
Yep.
And I can get myself in the position of contrasting that with Hillary Clinton, who rightly or wrongly embodies a lot of that sense of committees and bureaucracy, and we're trying to get there, but it's slow and steady progress. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But when we're talking, I think that a lot of the good versus evil battle that the Democratic Party tried to make this election is so esoteric and philosophical to a lot of people. And listen, again, I understand that there's privilege baked into that, because if you're walking down the street and someone is harassing you because of the color of your skin or who you love or your gender, that's not esoteric and philosophical. But right. for the people who don't experience that, I understand how they trust themselves to be kind and do good and trust him to fix the pipe or keep the factory or whatever their most pressing need is.
Yep. Well, and I just think that, you know, people, I went to Vox Conversations and we talked over and over and over again in very highfalutin intellectual ways about that the system is broken. And I know it's not very highfalutin or intellectual to say, then blow it up. But I think people thought a lot that Donald Trump, every time he broke a rule and kept going, every time he said, I'm not going to give my, everybody's giving their tax returns. Well, I'm not going to. So every time he said, I'm not going to give my tax returns and I'm going to say what I want and I'm going to go on Twitter and not be super careful about everything I say and I'm going to screw up and I'm going to say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Like every time he sort of broke these traditional rules, it felt like he was saying, well, the system's broken and I'm not going to follow by rules from a broken system. And that appealed to people and I can see why. And today when I was listening to something they were talking about, Donald Trump doesn't owe the Republican Party anything. And I thought, I get the appeal of that. I get the appeal of he doesn't owe anybody anything. Like he does as far as the establishment goes. Like he can roll into Washington and to a certain extent, you know, we still have processes and we still have checks and balances, but like there is an appeal of like, he doesn't have this long list of influential donors, sort of. He hasn't worked his way up on the backs of favors from other people in the party. You know, like there is an appeal to that. There just is.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people said to themselves, I wish he weren't the messenger for this, but he's what we've got.
Yep.
So I'm going with it.
I think so too. I think so too.
And honestly,
I think Thomas Freeman, somebody quoted him earlier, and I think that it was like American people decided they wanted radical change, and if it came through a racist, sexist, you know, politically incorrect, at times buffoon, then that was okay with them. They didn't care. You know, I heard that from people. I don't like him, but I want change. Or I don't like him, but I don't want any more. And if you said, if it was, and every time, you know, he wouldn't get a newspaper endorsement, or all these experts and establishment, including ex-president, said he can't do it, he's not qualified, people just heard, he's different, he's different, he's different.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, I think that the post-mortem so far on this election is just missing that, because there's so much talk about, was it James Comey, or was it that the media made people feel complacent, or, you know, was it the emails, or was it Russia's interference in the election? I think that's all missing it, because I think that if you start pouring into the numbers that maybe actually drove the result, they've been kind of stable throughout the whole process. I think that this cake might have been baked months ago, and we got wrapped up, as a lot of people did, in the daily narrative written by people who think deep thoughts for a living instead of are working on our pipes and our power and, you know, in factories. And I think that all of the, it's funny that all of the self-reflection that the media is doing now is still all about them, right? It's now it's just, how did we all get this so wrong, when a good story and the story that needs to be told right now is like, what is actually happening in America? What are people actually feeling?
And I want to be clear. The people who are bureaucrats and politicians in Washington, D.C., and the elite Harvard-educated media experts and the political pundits at CNN and Fox News and all these elite establishment people are Americans, and they have a right to a say in what they think America should look like. They are no more the people who live in Paducah or in quote-unquote, you know, regular America are no more noble than the people that live in New York City, and vice versa. I am not looking to split us up into teams anymore. Like, I'm not saying that they're, that, you know, this us and them of rural cities, media elite establishments, like, we need everybody, okay? Like, I'm not saying one part of the country has some sort of monopoly on nobility or righteousness or sort of the real America. Like, let's just get over that, okay?
Completely agree. 100%.
I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to do real America, big city, real, like, it's just, I really need that narrative to stop. And just, let's just, we're all here together. We're not going to split up. And as a Democrat, it's important to me that, you know, we have a real functioning party. And we got a little top heavy. And we put all our eggs in the presidential basket, and that was poor strategy. And let's just do political strategy instead of, you know, saving the world from evil. Like, I'm not interested in that anymore. I think that there are better institutions for that purpose. I'm not even sure I believe in evil, but if I do, there's better institutions to handle it than the Democratic Party. We are ill-equipped to rid the world of bigotry, okay? Like, that's not our job. Our job is to elect people who share a vision for what policies help the most people, no matter what part of the country they live in. And I want to get back to doing that.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic,
And Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online. And we were discussing the fact that I'm 43 and she said, I cannot believe how young you look. And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off. There's not much worse than a dry, itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
I'd like the Republican Party to do that as well.
Word.
And I think that, so right now, I think that it's horrific to think about people being treated badly because of some permission slip that the way Trump spoke about people was granted, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also think there are ways to be more productive in helping people who are legitimately afraid than burning an effigy of our president-elect.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how this is not your president. Mm-hmm. I still believe in the framework of America. Now, look, everybody's got to grieve in their own ways. And again, I'm not trying to take anything away from people's feelings. I do think that orienting our actions towards what's productive is what's called for right now. And the Republican Party needs to get it together and fast because the pressure of not being in a divided government is immense. This mm-hmm. means there is no cover, none. If the Republican Party can't govern effectively now, then they can't govern at all. There are no excuses. And they're going to have to cope with the fact that given that there's no cover, what part of the party are they going to prioritize? And are they going to govern for everyone or not?
Yeah. And isn't it depressing to think that, let's see, Obama was elected in 2008. So let's say we get through Trump's first term and we do 12 years and we have these two small little windows when each party had its chance to govern uncovered. And all we did was pass Obamacare and then repeal it. That's what we took our time to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we did.
I do.
Ugh, that's depressing.
It is depressing. And I want to say right into this microphone that I don't think it's a good thing to have all branches of government controlled by one party. whichever party that is. I like about America that we tend to go for divided government. So I think that it is really, really important that the Republican Party use this as a chance to really put its money where its mouth is. You want to go back and refresh that autopsy from 2012 about what the party ought to do. Much more important in how you actually govern than how you campaign. So let's see it, you know, I hope that they can do it.
And I just think looking back on it, you know, Jon Favreau told this story about Obama and Obamacare and how, you know, people were like, you'll lose a second term, your approval ratings will plummet. And he said this, you know, Obama said this really noble thing about like, I'm not going to just put my approval ratings on a shelf to look at. Like, they're not precious. I want to get something done. I want to get something done that will help people. And I think he's right. And I think that maybe the best thing wasn't passing something with absolutely no bipartisan support. And I know people are going to say Republicans were obstructionist. He would have gotten no support no matter what he did. And maybe that's true. But I guess all those are true. I don't know what you do. Like, I just think, like, we can't just be like, well, we'll get in charge and we'll force what we want down your throats. And then we'll react and then you'll be in charge and you'll force what you want down our throats. And like, we're not getting anything done.
I 100% agree with that. And I guess that what we're saying is that we want leaders who will actually lead and lead with courage instead of leading in campaign mode. I was thinking last week and then even more this week, especially in light of some of the messages that we've been getting, you know, our show would be more popular if we agreed about everything. And we're just a place where people who totally agreed with us came to have their own beliefs reinforced. Mm-hmm. I believe that 100%. I think we would be much, much more successful as a podcast if people were not challenged here. But that's what we think government should look like, right? That there should be different beliefs at the table. And I think that our senators and representatives for several years, and the White House to some extent, have been putting their words out into the world only for people who agree with them. Mm-hmm. And it's just time to stop that.
Yep.
And maybe that is a silver lining of a Donald Trump figure in our politics, where a lot of people voted for him without agreeing with every word he said, because they at least believed what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Whether they should have or not will be, you know, borne out. I have concerns about that. But I think there's a good message in, we don't have to be on the same page about everything. In fact, we shouldn't be. We do a better job when we're not. And I hope that leads to better governance. The other thing I want to say is, like, if you feel compelled to do something right now, do it. And do it in a productive way. Run for office. Pick an office and run. I have never in my life wanted to run for office. And yesterday I thought, I need to pick an office and run.
Yay!
That's what we all need to be doing. You know,
we just do. It took me a year in electing Donald Trump. That was my goal.
That is a steep price for the year. Sure. But no, I mean, I think that if I'm going to sit here and be sad about what I perceived as very entrenched sexism in this campaign, then I need to get up and do something about it, you know?
Well,
and all the competent women I know, and all the people of color, and all of the gay and lesbian and trans people. Like, let's not wait for somebody else to protect our rights. Like, let's get up and demand it ourselves.
Well, and here's the thing. It can happen. Do you know how many Republicans voted for me? Do you know how many people voted for Donald Trump and then moved out of the ballot and voted for me? A lot. And, you know, my friend Mike, who we argue, and we argue about a lot of things, but he is a loving, caring man. And he said, you're the only Democrat I voted for. And you know what? I'll take it. I'll take it. Little bit by little bit. And it is hard and it stretches you. And it feels like growing pains, right? It feels like, wait, my brain has hit a wall, because what my brain tells me is that anyone that doesn't agree with me is a bad person. But what my heart is telling me is that's not true. Y'all, the woman I was talking about on the last podcast, I went into her today and she was, as always, picked up my little boy like he was her own and loved on him. And she congratulated me on winning. And I said, I want to congratulate you on Trump. I know that you really supported him and I'm happy for you. And I could barely say it before without crying. And she said, thank you. That's so nice. You know, there's no need for it to be ugly on Facebook. That really means a lot. I think it's great that we can, you know, we're in this together and we can all work together. And I said, that's right. And it was so hard, but it was so worth it because the things that are hard are the things that were worth it in politics and everything else.
I think that's a good way to wrap it up. So, you guys have asked us a lot of questions. I'll just share with you that I am usually better at asking questions than answering them, but we will do our best. As you can probably tell, like, we haven't really gotten into the data yet. We'll do that at some point. We'll do lots of postmortem on this, but right now we're still kind of getting through it, and we try to always be honest with you about where we are. So we'll be back with you next Tuesday for a regularly scheduled episode. Stay tuned for our Exit the Echo Chamber Challenge, which we're very excited about. Take care of yourselves. Feel what you need to feel. Contact us. Thank you for your patience in our response. And keep it nuanced, y'all.